As a young boy growing up in Western New York in the 1970s, there just wasn't a whole lot of options for Saturday afternoon television. It was, you know, those days when you had a rotary dial on the television and you had an antenna on the roof. How many people remember those days? As a young kid growing up in snowbound Western New York in the country, we had coloring books, reading, and those limited channels that UHF and VHF brought into the television. It was a hard call, but between curling events, competition bowling, and old reruns of The Rifleman, Star Trek ruled in my house. And we watched these episodes, and I just absolutely fell in love with it. Little did I know that every time Leonard Nimoy, as Mr. Spock, shared the Live Long and Prosper sign, that what he was actually doing was sharing the Shekinah Kohani peace sign that the priests in the temple used to share with the people of God. You see, when they wrote the scripts, they wanted Spock to have a religious saying to give. So they said, live long and prosper. And Leonard Nimoy, as a Jew, extemporized, he ad-libbed the hand signal from what he saw the Kohens, the Kohanites, the Aaronic priests in the temple sharing with the people of God. You see, that blessing recognized the fivefold vision of God in the world. And it was supposedly that through those holes in the blessing that the Shekinah glory of God shone on the people. The priests that were giving that blessing were given very, very direct instruction, not only how they were to hold their hands, but also what they were to say. The words of the blessing were followed rigorously. In fact, the priests didn't even say them on their own. The priests only echoed what a cantor read directly from Scripture. So the cantor would read, and then the priest would repeat. Interestingly, this particular blessing was only allowed by a Levite. In fact, for anyone who was not a Levite to do that was considered a sin. But each of the people were taught that they were a part of God's blessing and that there were other ways in which they can bless the world. Now, the blessing that they shared was what you heard read today from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God instructed Aaron and his sons to gather the people together and bless them with these words. It's a three-part blessing. Interestingly, it uses the personal name of God here. What we see as the Yahweh statement, not the Elohim, which is the less personal. It's the personal name of God. And it's repeated three times. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you. This three-time blessing is a precursor to what we will later discover about God in the New Testament. As we discover God to be triune, you also see a threefold blessing. Interestingly, this threefold blessing also encapsulates what we understand in the Trinity of God. That God is the God who keeps you. That God is the God who gives you grace. And God is the God who gives you peace. In a few moments, I'm going to walk you through what that means according to the New Testament. But recognize that in these three blessings, we see God as the Creator, God as the Savior, and God as the sustainer of the people. But the core of the blessing comes from the personal aspect of God. Two of these blessings speak directly of God's face. May his face shine upon you and may his countenance be upon you. Now, I love the understanding of God lifting his countenance upon you. Think about that for a moment. Most of the time, we think of God looking down upon us, right? In fact, in power structures, the most powerful, the largest, the biggest, the strongest, always looks down upon the weakest. And the only way that we see a difference in that is to understand God as our Father. When I had little kids, my kids now all look down on me, so me lifting my countenance upon them is talking on a daily basis. But I remember the days when they were little, and I would hold them above my head, and I would look them in the eye, and I'd tell them, Daddy loves you. It was that first understanding. I wanted to be nose to nose with those kids. I wanted them to know my face. And so I would lift them up, and I would look into their eyes. I remember laying flat on the ground and putting them up in the air right in front of me. This is what God is showing us when he talks about lifting his countenance upon us. You see, God wants you to know that you are God's blessed child, that you are loved from the time you were created. Before you were born, even in the womb, God knew and loved you. And God wants you to see him face to face. This face to face blessing is extraordinarily important. We live in an age where we think we can bless people by remote Facebook blessing. No, we want face to face. We want personal. We want it to be something where it's ours. And when the Lord shines his face upon us, when he lifts up his countenance, we know we are his. We are known face to face and eye to eye. Blessings are personal. Today we're going to learn how we can bless other people in this same way. Personally bless them. Personally invite them. Personally share with them. And today we're going to bless someone in particular today. We're not going to leave this place without blessing someone, looking them in the eye and saying the words of this. So, if you're not close to somebody, get close to somebody. Because as we move through this, I want you to look someone in the eye and be able to give them the blessing. Move if you have to. But I want you to be close to someone so you can bless them. The first part of this, the Lord bless you and keep you, is instructive for this reason. We, earlier in the service, prayed the Lord's Prayer. We said, Our Father who art in heaven, right? Our Father. And we said, Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. What does it mean that the Lord keeps you? What the prayer is that your daily needs are going to be met. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord is going to take care of your needs. And that first blessing that we give, the Lord bless you and keep you, is that your needs will be taken care of. That those things that you need to survive, that you will receive from God. And so the Lord's Prayer is instructive. That's how Jesus taught us to pray. And we pray to the Father in heaven. And we pray that the Father will keep us. Now what I want you to do if you're close to somebody is I want you to look them in the eye. It's not going to be easy. And I want you to say the words, the Lord bless you and keep you. We can do better than that, folks. The Lord bless you and keep you. When you pray these blessings for someone else, you are getting personal with them, aren't you? In some places, that's uncomfortable, isn't it? It's not easy to bless somebody because you have to be in their face, in their space. You have to get to know them in a way that, honestly, sometimes we don't want to get to know people. It's one of the reasons that we have very little community in our world today. People say they want close friends, but the difficulty is that we have barriers and boundaries. And it takes risks to be a friend. Now, here's the thing. Some people believe that in order to be a friend, the only way you could do it is to have the other person nice to you. Let me ask you this. Show of hands. How many people have had other people who are nice to them as the start of their friendship? Pretty much what I thought. It's rare sometimes, isn't it? Now, let me tell you this. If you bless someone else, that's how you make friends. We used to tell our kids this. We still do occasionally. To get a friend, you have to be a friend, right? Now, in blessing, that means to receive blessing. Sometimes your best bet is to give blessing. This is why we pray for others before they pray for us. Now, the next thing is even more important. And it's part of this tells us about the second person in the Trinity. Once again, we're going to look someone in the eye and we're going to share this blessing. But the second of this three-part prayer is about grace. Grace is the central pillar of God's love for us, isn't it? It says, "The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you." You see, what God would reveal in Jesus Christ is that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might be saved, so that we might be forgiven, so that we might receive God's grace, right? Isn't it fascinating how back at the time of Moses, God was already getting him ready for this? God's graciousness is already appearing. Now, the love of God is expressed to you through grace. What does that mean? What that means is that without God's grace, God can't look you in the eye. One of the difficult things is that God, we have sins in our lives, right? Now, there are times when I know my kids have done something that's offensive to me because they won't look me in the what? In the eye. There are times in our lives where we deflect. We don't want to look someone in the eye because of our guilt. Has that ever happened to you? When you feel guilty, you don't want to look someone face to face in the eye. Why? Because there's something that's disconnecting between the two of you. You're afraid that your guilt's going to show. You're afraid that that person's not going to meet you with love and with grace. And so in the Old Testament, when Cain sins, God says, "Why is your countenance fallen?" What does it mean? You're not looking me in the eye. Why are you looking down? God wants us to be able to look God in the eye. And the only way that can happen is if God says, "You're forgiven. I'm wiping it clean because I want a relationship with you more than I want to judge you for what you've done." The way to that is grace in Jesus Christ. God wanted that so much that he sent his only Son to die so that you can have a face-to-face knowledge of God. So that you could look God right in the eye and God could show you his love. You see, that forgiveness, that grace, it's a 70 times 7 grace. You know what that means? That means there's almost no extent that God can't forgive. Now, when we talk about blessing other people, I want to make sure you hear this. This is going to be tough for you to hear. We all love to hear about grace when it's what we receive. I always like to say that we want forgiveness when we've sinned, and we want justice when we've been sinned against. That's the fundamental crisis of humanity. We want forgiveness when we have sinned, but we want justice when someone else has sinned. Now, how does that play out in life? The way that plays out is that when we've done something wrong, we want someone to forgive us so we can look him in the eye. But when someone's hurt us, then we want that person to crawl, don't we? It's part of our sin nature. We have a hard time forgiving as God has forgiven us. But this is the truth. This is the truth of the Gospels. Jesus told us, "You would be forgiven as you forgive. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." You see, Jesus knew the Old Testament. And he understood it when he shared this with us in the New. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. What does that mean? It simply means this. If you're not forgiving other people, then one has to question whether you're going to receive forgiveness. Part of the blessing that you have to be able to give to other people is your grace, your forgiveness. Why? Because Jesus did it for you. So let's take our second step. Look someone in the eye and follow after me. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Let's do it one more time. It takes a little practice. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. By saying that, you're calling blessing upon that person and you're asking for God to give them grace. If someone has harmed you, if someone has damaged you, if someone has sinned against you, if someone has hurt you in any way, pray this prayer for them. And if possible, look them in the eye while you do it. Bless those who persecute you, Jesus said. Jesus wasn't creating this. It wasn't new, was it? This has been God's plan from the beginning. It extends to the entirety of Scripture, and it continues to make sense for us today. You want to change the world? Bless your world. Let your blessing show grace to the world around you. One last time, the third blessing. The third part of the high priestly prayer from the book of Numbers. The core of this is peace. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Let's compare this to the words that Jesus shared with his disciples in the Gospel of John. John chapter 14, verse 21 says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Right before Jesus says this, in the Gospel of John chapter 14, he is telling them that I am sending you a comforter, that you will not be alone in this world. But when I leave, when I die and have risen and have ascended into heaven, you will not be left, Jesus' words are, desolate. But I will send to you a paraclete, a counselor, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives what? The peace of God. What is that peace? The peace that is not someone else's peace, but Jesus says, it's my peace that I give to you. And then he gives those wonderful words, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you know that you have nothing to fear. But here's the truth, folks. Our world is frightened. It's terrified today. There's too many things out there that frighten and scare us. And honestly, it's not the boogeyman hiding under the bed. These are real things, aren't they? I thought we were in trouble because of terrorism and because of international unrest and that, you know, the financial markets were bad. But then I heard about the Zika virus and I went, really? This too? Now we got to worry about something else? And something that we can't control or fix? There's a lot to fear in the world, isn't there? How does one navigate the difficulties and fears of the world without God? The truth is that without God, you learn to put your trust in human strength, human ingenuity, and unfortunately, power. We can bless people with God's peace. We can give to them a peace that allows them to sleep at night and to know that no matter what occurs in the world, that God is with us. Can you give God's peace to somebody today? Yes, you can. You can look someone in the eye. And, you know, this God's peace is, you know what I compare it to? God's peace is someone telling you with strength and authority that everything's going to be all right. There are days when I simply need that. Do you ever need that? Just someone who put a hand on your shoulder, who will look you in the eye and say, don't worry, I'm with you. I love you. And everything is going to be all right. This is what God wants to give you in blessing. An understanding that God will not leave your presence. That God walks with you through the valley of the shadow of death, as the psalmist David wrote. That nothing can separate you from God. Nothing. I am with you, and I bring to you peace. Like grace, peace also needs to be paid forward. It must be experienced before you share it with someone else. Let me be honest. Giving peace cannot be done when you're anxious. There are times when I'm anxious and I try to project peace when I'm anxious. It doesn't work, folks. The more panicked you are, the less likely you're going to create a sense of peace in other people. The truth is in order for you to share peace, you first have to have peace. If you have peace in Christ, if the Holy Spirit has allowed you to understand that no matter what happens in life or in death, you are in God's hands. The Apostle Paul says, tells us that we are Jesus, we are in Christ, okay, in life or in death. Nothing separates us. He says to live is Christ and to die is gain. Peace. But we have to be able to model it before we can share it. I grew up the son of a dentist, and I helped him chairside assisting for years. I was that person that sucked the spit out of your mouth with that little hose. That was me. But part of the job was not just doing that. Part of the job was presenting peace. My father used to tell us this: nothing spoils the moment worse than hearing oops as someone's doing surgery on you. And he's right, because dentistry is surgery on people who are still awake. And so you can see them sweat if something goes wrong. So what do you have to project in front of them? Peace. Calm. It's under control. Everything's going to be all right. And it's amazing how when you share that with people, they receive it. Share peace by living peace. This is why we've asked the church for the time of Lent to stop complaining through the season of Lent. You know why we've asked the church to do that? It's not because I don't want to hear complaints about my sermons. Don't worry. No vow will take that away from the world. There's one reason. People who complain less are happier. They're more joyful. Because complaining actually starts to build in your life. And the more you complain, the more you surround yourself with people who complain. And before you know it, you've gone from being a power positive thinking type of person to being the ultimate negative person, where all you can see is a problem. A problem not to solve, but a problem to complain about. Complaining is actually the opposite of peace, isn't it? And in today's world, what goes for solutions is actually just simply complaining. We are here to bless the world. And from the very beginning, God tried to tell his people that it's your job to bless your world. And you start with your people and you move out from that place. What did God tell Abraham when he called him? I will make you a blessing to the world. Through you, the world will be blessed. And he tells the people of God, the priest will bless you and you will bless your world. And in Jesus Christ, he continues that God is in the work of blessing the world through blessing the people of God. If we can learn to bless the world, then we start it face to face. I forgot one thing with you. Let's go back. Look at your friend. Look him in the eye. If they're not your friend before this, they better be afterwards. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. One more time. Let's do it. Let's do it right. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. You have to learn how to bless other people. And if we can bless the world, then our blessing begins in our homes, in our families. And the God who created the world, the God who saved the world, the God who continues to sustain us in peace, the God of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, continues to give to us personally, face to face. You see, I learned from Star Trek a long time ago that the difference between a Vulcan and a Klingon was not just that one had a beard and the other didn't. Believe it or not, in the show, the good guys and the bad guys were actually related by blood. But the difference was that the good guys blessed and the bad guys cursed. Whether you bless or whether you curse is more important to whether you're a good guy or a bad guy than how you were born, how you look, or what your personal tastes are. Are you going to choose to be a blessing to your world? Or are you going to curse it? There's really only those two choices. Christians bless the world that we live in. And we bless it by recognizing what God has always been doing. May the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord shine his face upon you and give and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Show your love. Show your grace. Share your peace. And let the Spirit of God move through your life. There's a good way of starting that. I told you at the beginning that one of the reasons that we're doing this event on March 6th is so that what you love can be shared with your friends and your neighbors. And we want you to invite them. March 6th, right here at the church, at 6:30, the concerts start. The worship service starts at 8. It concludes at 9. Come for all of it if you would like, or just for the final hour. We'll be greeting and accepting visitors all the way through. We want you to invite your friends and neighbors and share this blessing with them. If you're someone who's received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you know God face to face, if God has forgiven you, if God has given you peace, then let's be honest. If you're not sharing that grace and peace with other people, then you really don't understand what we're talking about today. You might be bashful, you might be shy. This is a way that you can share it. Without knowing all the words, bring a friend. Pour out your love to them and sit with them. Don't just send them. You know, oftentimes we send someone to do something instead of walk with them. The beautiful thing, the loving thing is to walk with them to it, right? Bring them. Pick them up with your car. Bring them to the event and sit with them and pray with them. And look at them face to face and bless them. If you're someone today that doesn't know the peace of God in Jesus Christ, if you don't feel like you've been forgiven, some people look at me and they say, I don't know what's going to happen if I die. I want to make sure that you have a full confidence in God's love. You know, when I was a kid, my dad would throw me in the air and he'd catch me. I never, ever screamed in panic. I only peeled in joy. Because I knew my Father's hands were safe and strong. That's the peace that God gives you when you've looked him in the eye and when you know you've been forgiven and been given God's grace and love. If you need that grace and love today, then let's talk. Let's pray together. Let's look to the Father in the eye and say, Lord God, we call upon the name of your Son to forgive us and to give to us salvation. If you are someone who needs the courage to invite, then I ask that you'd step out in faith to do that today as well. On your way out, there are invitation cards. There are door hangers. If you want to do a hit and run on a neighbor, you can just take a door hanger and hang it on their doorknob. Not the most courageous way of doing it. But sometimes an invitation can be sent and not shared individually. Whatever it is your speed, however you want to share your love, there's only one thing that would be wrong, and that's not sharing it at all. Let's bow. Lord God, I thank you for the ability that you've given to us to share your blessings. The blessings that we've received, you've given us the strength to share with the world. Lord God, I thank you for giving me the blessing of your love, that you created me, that you've loved me since I was born and before, that you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross so that I might be forgiven, so that I might be saved from a life of sin, and that to this day, your Holy Spirit sustains me and gives me peace. Lord God, help us to learn the words of this blessing so that we might bless the world, so that we might bless our families and friends, so that we might share that we love. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray it. And the people of God said,